It's going down, and you're invited.
Let's see it.
Fuck the police!
I'm standing down here at the Olympia blockade at 7th and Jefferson with two participants. It's currently very windy and rainy and cold, but there are people here nonetheless, and fire's burning, song singing, and we'll get right into it. Could one of you briefly tell me what the blockade is blocking?
Yeah, so a few days ago, there was word that a train was leaving the port of Olympia with a load of fracking proppants, and so there was a call out to folks here in town and around the area to block it. And so there was a march from the port down to this area right here where the train is supposed to go. And so people have built a barricade encampment on the rail.
Within a few hours, there is already like structures and infrastructure being built. And now we're about 48 hours in, and there's a whole camp set up. It's reinforced. It's got barricades kind of all the way around, tarps. It's set up so there's different rooms. People mobilize this camp really fast.
So where exactly, like, where is the camp?
The camp is on a section of tracks, a little ways away from the port in downtown Olympia. It's near an intersection, but it's not actually blocking the intersection. It's on, which makes it on, like federal property basically, because it's on the tracks instead of the street. So it's out of the jurisdiction of the Olympia police. It's the jurisdiction of the train police.
How have the cops been interacting with the blockade so far?
So far, they've mostly left it alone. They've been coming by at night and taking pictures of people, but it's really just out of their jurisdiction. That was the same thing that happened last year. The city cops, like, it seems like don't really have a role in intervening until the train cops kind of set up the infrastructure for a raid or an intervention.
There was also a blockade that happened a year ago, and I was wondering if one of you could provide a brief summary of how that went down and what maybe context that lays out for the blockade we're at currently.
Yeah, so this is the same spot actually that people occupied last year. Same situation. We got word that a train was leaving with fracking proppants, and so there was a march again. And there was actually two different blockades, but this is the one that remained.
About how many people do you think have passed through the blockade, do you think?
I have no idea. A lot. Hundreds.
And are people sleeping here overnight?
Yeah, people are sleeping here overnight.
Like, what's the day-to-day feel at the camp like?
The last few days have been pretty sunny. It's been pretty jovial. There's a lot of food, a lot of people bringing food, taking food out, cooking it at their houses, bringing it back. There's a lot of building happening. There's, like, basically all day long, there's tires and pallets and tarps being brought and set up. Today has been pretty rainy. It's kind of a different atmosphere. But there's still tons of stuff being brought. It's a lot of, like, reinforcing for, like, weatherproofing now, a lot of kind of putting tarps and pallets over the flooded areas so that people still have a safe place to walk around.
I think the day-to-day has been, you know, building things and organizing things and, like making sure people are okay and fed. So there's a lot of people doing a lot of things, and as well as, like, trying to ensure that, like, the train doesn't cut, like, pass through, and also being prepared for, like, a police raid. Yeah, which is inevitable. Last year, I think it was about 5 days. It took them 5 days. I think this is technically not the jurisdiction of the city police, and is actually, because it's on the rails, it's federal. So the train company has to, like, organize everything and you know, prepare to their own raid, essentially, with the help of the police as well.
And is this, like, an open blockade camp that, like, other people can come into?
Yeah, anybody can come, and we've definitely had a lot of homeless people coming through too, which is cool, and being part of the blockade. There's just, generally we're trying to keep people out who are hostile. There's been some hostile people who have come through, and those situations have been de-escalated, and those people have left. There's been a few people asked to leave for various reasons. Various reasons that have to do with, you know, the safety and security of the space. But as long as people aren't hostile to that and are taking security precautions, keeping that in mind, then everybody is welcome to come to work on stuff. It's a pretty autonomous space. Nobody needs to, like, you know somebody to get plugged in. Like, you can come down and plug yourself in.
How are decisions being made within the camp to kind of, like, carry out, like, the day-to-day tasks or things like de-escalation and security?
Well, like I said, it's pretty autonomous. There are some basic committees. There was like a medic committee, there was a kind of a cleanup committee, but those committees are very loosely run, very loosely organized. It's mostly just like a really autonomous space. When people come with supplies or people come and have concerns about a person, people have just talked to other people, and everybody just kind of has been saying, like, oh, here's an idea, like, here's an idea, you know, do what feels good to you, do what you're comfortable with. Every night there's been a general assembly around between 7 and 9 p.m. And that hasn't been a decision-making body, but it's been a time people can have discussions with each other, you know, think about things they want to talk about more within their affinity groups or amongst each other outside the general assemblies. And a lot of the conversations have been pretty organic, but it definitely hasn't been acting as a decision-making body.
Are there any, like, developments that you could foresee realistically happening in the near future in terms of, like, life at the camp, or how is the city been interacting with it? Like, any changes you foresee coming, like, whether from inside the camp or outside?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that the camp will be raided or evicted before too long. The trains come out of the port Fridays and Tuesdays, so it's in their best interest probably not to let two trains, like a Friday train is already blocked, to not let the Tuesday train be blocked as well. So it seems pretty likely that a raid is fairly imminent. But I think that that's on people's mind, and a lot of the discussions happening are like how simultaneously to having this particular blockade can people start planning other things that will continue to block this train and to continue blocking, like, fracking infrastructure simultaneously in other places, like outside of just this encampment, so that when the encampment gets raided, that train still can't leave the port.
So we're talking about specifically blocking a train full of fracking proppants. The Port of Olympia, though, is a pretty big hub for international shipping in and outside of the states. Is there any concern about the traffic of trains that are not carrying infrastructure for basically environmental catastrophe? For example, like corn grain. Like, are people concerned about what happens if a train load of corn wants to get through?
There's been a few liberal voices who, you know, really want to make this only about anti-fracking, and not kind of a wider struggle against infrastructure or capitalism, but I think the general consensus has been that we are against the port in all its forms. We're against the infrastructure of the train in all its forms, and any train that is blocked, any infrastructure that is stopped because of this, that's a positive thing.
I remember hearing last year some mixed messages about the role that local indigenous tribes played, and I was curious what that looked like with this blockade currently.
There are some people here earlier today who were from the Standing Rock tribe, as well as people from the local community, indigenous people here, who sang and gave some prayers. And so far my experience with the indigenous folks who have come through and who have been staying at this encampment has been entirely positive, that people are really supportive of it happening. Really supportive that we are trying to stop the poisoning of their land and their water. And it's been only positive interactions so far.
Are there any differences that you are seeing in the blockade that we're standing at today versus the blockade we saw last year? whether it be like physical differences that you are seeing in the makeup of the camp or attendees or political dynamics that are currently at play?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of similarities to last year, just like the situation, obviously, but also I think that the encampment structures are a lot more stable and well put together. And I think because it happened last year as well, I think people kind of like had an idea of what to do and were more prepared in terms of like similarities or differences between the types of people that are coming. I think that there's been a lot more like houseless folks in the encampment, which is pretty cool. There's been less liberal voices, I think, who are trying to like talk down, you know, like combativeness or anything like that. So there's been a lot more people on the same page, but there still has been, of course, people who have been more pro-police or pro-liaison, police liaison. So last year there was they raided and there was a huge conflict about 4 in the morning. It's pretty terrible.
Is there anything else you'd like to add or touch on?
I think we've seen in the last year a lot of encampments like this, and I think Standing Rock especially gave a lot of people a lot of skills. A lot of people who are here have spent various amounts of time at Standing Rock, and I think in terms of this, the infrastructure that's been built at this encampment compared to last year, people like mobilize infrastructure really fast, and you know, food committees and bedroom setups for people to stay the night and for people to be here in all kinds of weather. And I think that people, it seems really clear to me that people learned a lot of skills at Standing Rock and throughout other encampments, but I think especially at Standing Rock, that they then brought back to this. And I don't think that without those experiences, this camp would have mobilized as fast and as successfully as it did.
And then for anybody local listening who wants to contribute or maybe wants to come, is there a list of supplies that people are really asking for folks to bring to the blockade?
I mean, I think ropes and tarps are always helpful. I think it's also important to remember that this is a blockade of a track, and any material that blocks the track is one more thing that they have to remove before that train can go through. You know, the camp, it makes sense to reinforce the camp, but it also makes sense to understand that the camp's not going to last forever, and blocking the train can happen no